Hello, guys, and welcome to the Marigold Standard, your weekly audio source of all things Dream Star Fighting Marigold. I'm your host, Rob Goodwin, and I'm joined as ever by Mr. Matt Turner for a very special bonus episode of the Marigold Standard this week. But before we get into all of that, Matt Turner, how the devil are you?
I'm good, my man. No sense of complaining. Life is treating me well. A very, very busy day, as this is podcast number 2 of 4 that I'm scheduled to record today. But that's just the joy of doing some fun stuff, talking about obviously some stardom, and then later on today talking about some Agatha All Along, which I know that you're a Marvel fan. Have you been watching Agatha All Along, Mr. Rob Goodwin?
We have indeed. Me and Kirsty are big fans of Agatha All Along. Big, big fans. Kirsty especially, who, especially in the second, no, what phase are we in now? 4? 5?
I think five. I'll find out later. I'll ask my buddy Peter Melnick and I'll get back to you.
Yeah. The multiverse, basically. Ever since the multiverse sort of stuff started, she was a bit like, oh, I'm just done with it now. But Agatha All Along is the one that's hooked her back in, which is exactly what we want, isn't it?
It's really weird because Agatha is like a D-list, like Fantastic Four villain from like the 70s, which is just really weird with like that she was the big bad introduced behind everything on WandaVision. Mm-hmm. Everyone was like, oh, like they wanted Mephisto, like everyone, so bad.
Everyone thought it was going to be Mephisto, and then they all thought that Aubrey Plaza was going to be Mephisto.
Yeah, and then none of that happened, and they're like, okay, now I guess we're waiting for this Agatha All Along. Like, the first episode was okay. The second episode was really good, and it just keeps ramping up. So, I'm excited. So later on tonight, I'm going to be recording with my buddy Peter Melnick over at The Marvelist to discuss the latest two episodes of Agatha All Along. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about another great podcast we did earlier today on the Stardom Cast. But I'm super excited to talk about today's bonus special topic, Natsumi Shozuki interview. Super excited for all the fantastic questions that we had and the answers that she gave back. So it really seems like we're starting to truck along a little bit here in the interviews. So we're starting to gain some traction trying to interview more and more wrestlers. So it does seem that our fan base really enjoys these. So I'm super excited to go over all the fantastic stuff from one of our new favorite wrestlers over in Japan, the super flyweight champion, one Natsumi Shozuki, good sir.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, one of the big things to say is thank you to Marigold Joshi, Sonny Gutierrez in particular, who has been pivotal in helping us out with all of this. You know, he's the person that sort of we go to, and he's the person that helps us to get the questions to the wrestlers. Another huge shout out to Chiyoko Asakura, who is just phenomenal when it comes to all of the translations. And as Matt has already mentioned, we have got a couple of these in the pipeline, and all of the translations have been done by Chiyoko, who is a phenomenal person. You can follow them on Twitter at @Chiyoko_Asakura. Let me make sure I've got that right. Yes, @Chiyoko_Asakura. She, again, has been absolutely incredible in helping us out with all the translations that have made all of these interviews possible. And obviously the last one we did, Matt, was with Mirai. That went down really well. People were really into the answers that she gave a lot of detail, a lot of passion, which is what we expect from someone who is known as the heart and soul of Marigold. And that's Natsumi Shozuki enjoys keeping her cards close to her chest in comparison, which I think suits the character that we've sort of gotten used to over the last 6 months.
Yeah, some of these questions and answers were really, really interesting. And yeah, you're right. She does play things, close to the chest, which was, you know, always makes for a fun and interesting interview. So again, somebody that the inaugural Super Flyweight Champion. As we're recording this, she's got a big championship match coming up over the next few weeks, a rematch from a match that really stole the undercard in Summer Destiny, and really a low-key, you know, underneath match of the year candidate with one Misa Matsui. So I'm interested to see how that rematch does go about. And obviously, you know, we did ask her some questions with some tag team wrestling, especially with her tag team with one Miko Anno. So, yeah, really interesting, some stuff going on here. And hopefully this interview gets out more to the masses and more people check out not only Marigold, but the one Natsumi Shoazuki as well.
Yeah, so the way this worked last time with Mirai, so obviously these are written interviews, and what we have done is that we will release it on the website. The interview is available, the full transcript, on the website. We've then obviously got this podcast, which sort of breaks down the answers, and we sort of discuss some of the answers and, you know, the connotations behind some of the answers, and that will be available as a podcast and as a video on YouTube as well. So you'll be able to check out all of those three versions of this together as you will. So yeah, let's delve straight into that. This is just basically just so that you can see the interview as we're going through it. So let's delve straight into this and let's go to that first question that we asked, which was, can you talk a little bit about your personal start in professional wrestling? And Natsumi says, in 2011, I played the role of a high school girl who wants to become a wrestler in a play. I went to watch Stardom to prepare for that role. Really interesting, people's different avenues into wrestling. So we spoke to Mirai, and Mirai's was a lot more sort of, you know, obviously she was living in an area hit by a huge tsunami, and she was sort of influenced by Tiger Mask and the charity wrestling that happened out there. And then Natsumi Shozuki, high school girl, wants to become a wrestler in a play, so she went to go and do some revision, basically, in an actual wrestling ring. How did you get into wrestling?
It's actually kind of funny. And hold on, I'm going to get into that in a moment. Now, and as soon as I read this question, I've been waiting to talk to you about this on air, especially now that we're face to face, because I cannot wait to see the pop that I get from you. So back in 1998, for our talent show over at Old Forge High School, we did professional wrestling. 1998, what? Northeastern Pennsylvania. Hold on. 1998, Northeastern Pennsylvania. The hot wrestling company was ECW.
Oh, my God.
Rob Goodwin, guess what ECW wrestler I portrayed in said talent show?
Mikey Whipwreck.
Nope. I'll give you four more guesses.
Four more guesses. Right, okay. Rob Van Dam.
Nope.
Is he one of the bigger names, or am I going to be looking like Bulls Mahoney?
No, it's probably on the same size as Balls Mahoney, but definitely somebody that is very well known in ECW.
No, Jerry Lynn was a bit later on, Monty. Let's go Sabu.
I'll give you one more guess.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Raven.
New Jack. I was New Jack. I came out to the main entrance to Natural Born Killers, obviously, yes. We had to edit it, yes, with a garbage can full of weapons, and threw it literally to say, after everybody, we had the high school, entire high school, going absolutely nuts. Guess the principal was waiting for us outside because we didn't clear everything with him. We basically only showed him 15% of what we were going to do, and then it was kind of like, we weren't going to tell him all this table breaking and the chairs and everything. Yeah, so, but anyway, to answer your question, no, I've obviously been a huge fan of pro wrestling. That was kind of my first act as pro wrestling, as me, as New Jack, you know, me 16 years old, maybe about all of 110 pounds of me. But I've always wanted to get into it. And then there was a guy running a wrestling school about 10 minutes away from where I live. So I went in, I did that wrestling school. It was World Star Wrestling. Within 2 months, I graduated. And all I really was taught was lockups and bumps. And that's when I was like, oh, I need to go to another wrestling school. And that's when CM Punk opened the Ring of Honor Dojo. And that was kind of my foray. So I've actually been through two wrestling camps to graduate. So that's how I did it. But my kind of somewhat similar to Natsumi Shozuki is she did the play. I did the high school talent show. And obviously my junior year and senior year, I was told I was not allowed to participate in any more talent shows. I was banned for the rest of my high school career. As breaking crutches and frying pans over people's heads from a family-friendly environment was not the way to go. Well, it was for me, but I remember that back in 98. So I think this answer is really cool. When Natsumi Shozuki in 2011, she went to Stardom to prepare for the role. And correct me if I'm wrong, partner, that was Stardom's rookie year. in what that was their debut year back in 2011. So mm-hmm. interesting to see that she was she wanted to be look maybe an actress, an upcoming actress, and they said happened to be pro wrestling. Who knows what that play, you know, what that play was, or if it was something else where she would have went to. But then she went to stardom. My guess, probably Aikawa, Nanae Takahashi, who she's working with now, mm-hmm. were the two main eventers, and probably two of the wrestlers that inspired her to be a pro wrestler. So this is really, really cool. Again, when I read that, I had flashbacks to 1998 in the Old Forge High School gymnasium, me portraying New Jack, because I look like an OG. I mean, you know, not your born killer right here, buddy.
Yes, absolutely. Matt. Jesus Christ.
No, New Jack, not Jesus Christ. Oh, New Jack.
I'm just trying to think, like, on what planet our headmaster would have said, do you know what, guys? We're doing a talent show. Can we do pro wrestling? Yes, absolutely. And then just coming out to Natural Born Killers, just unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. You've won the day, mate, there. You've absolutely won the day.
I don't even think my wife knows that story. We watched the Dark Side of the Ring episode with New Jack. I don't even know. I'm literally, when we get done with this, I'm going to tell her. By the way, did I tell you when I was New Jack in a talent show?
I'm going to tell you, mate. I bet I know how she reacts as well.
Same way you just did. Yeah.
Moving on to question two. So are there any wrestlers that influenced your style of wrestling? And if so, who? And she said, I want to make my wrestling style original, which I think we can all agree that she has done. You look at that running knee strike on the outside of the ring, for example. But she'd also like to imitate Io Sky. And I thought this was really interesting for a number of reasons. One, Utami said the exact same thing in her interview with Sky Wrestling, if you remember. And then obviously had that match in Sumo Hall with Io. But also because she went to 2011 Stardom to do research for this play. And then by 2012 has had her first match in Stardom. Matt, who was her debut match against?
Was it against Io?
It was against Io Shirai.
Whoa, look at that. What a good guess. Yeah, I mean, you can see, like, because those running knees are very something that Io still does now. They actually gave it a name called the Bullet Train. Just a couple months ago on Monday Night Raw. Okay. We've been watching Io wrestle for a long, long time. And obviously we go back into the catalog in Stardom, and Io always does those running knees in one form or another. And you see Natsumi, she's able to do it. I've never seen anybody do it on the floor before. So she kind of takes a little bit of Io. And not only that, but running from the main entrance, going 80 miles an hour. Nobody else has done that but her. So she does make her style original, but she takes a little bit of Io and mixes it into her own style, which is always the best, you know, the best thing to do is you're going to take people that obviously have been successful. Io, you know, one of the most successful wrestlers in all of wrestling mm-hmm. right now, you know, and obviously in Japan over the last 10, 15 years, she takes a little bit of that and then melds it into her own. And I really, really like that. You know, Jake Roberts always say, know where to get your best stuff, know where to steal your best stuff, because again, you're taking a little bit from Io and then you're basically molding into your own character of Natsumi Shoizuki. So yeah, you can see that. Like, I read this answer, it's like, yeah, you can see where she gets her own stuff from Io, but she does make everything her own to fit her character and to fit her style, and clearly it is working.
And I think wrestling especially is one of perhaps the most difficult sort of mediums to be original. You know, you look at for example CM Punk, who is, you know, when he was doing the GTS in WWE, there were people like, whoa, that is an amazing move. That's incredible. I love that. And then there was another group of people who were like, he's just nicked that from Kenta. You know, the running knee that he does in the corner, and like, that's also Kenta.
Actually, he took that from me. No joke. I'm not even joking.
You've told me this story. You've told me this story.
Yeah, it was an IWA mix-up. It was an IWA Mid-South show that we did that I did the running knee, and Punk said on commentary, because I'm going to take that. And then literally he goes to WWE a couple years later and he does it in his debut match when he was ECW against Justin Credible. I remember sitting there watching with my dad. I go, he told me he was going to do that. Yeah. But to kind of further your thing, yes, he did take that, the go to sleep from Kenta. He also took the Anaconda device from Tenzan as well.
He did. And that's what I mean. Like, it is very, very difficult to be original in wrestling. So, you know, trying to pay homage to other wrestlers, which is obviously what Shozuki's doing. I think when she was in Stardom, Io called that running knee attack the Shinkansen attack. And obviously now it's called the Bullet Train. You can see that influence in the way that Natsumi Shozuki wrestles. Moving on then. Unfortunately, you were forced to retire through injury in 2013. What was it that inspired you to come back? And Natsumi simply answers, the president of Act Res Girls invited me to do a play that involved wrestling. There's a couple of interesting things there. Obviously, again, that theatre background that she alluded to in her first answer. But also, she retired in 2013. I believe it was a hernia, a cervical. Oh, I can't remember now. I think it was a back problem. And it was literally weeks after her and Kairi as Hoshi Otenyo had won the Goddesses of Stardom Championship. So she'd been wrestling for just over a year when she got injured. And then obviously I remember people saying that Natsumi Shozuki had come back, and I didn't know a great deal about her at that point, but she was known as Natsumi Sumikawa, which she was until she came back to Marigold. But apart from that, she did one Rumble in 2016, which she did win. But again, it's interesting how that theatre element is what brought her back. And obviously, you know, I know that sort of actress girls, I don't know a great deal about it. I know a friend of the show and moderator on our Discord, Plug Pedro, does a podcast on actress girls, and he'd probably be a better person to talk to about this. But I know that they sort of have that sort of theatrical element in that. And I think someone coming back from injury, you know, we're in wrestling terms, a slightly safer environment, you know, with those, as I mentioned, theatrical elements that Natsumi's already alluded to enjoying and, you know, liking, I think that would be the perfect fit for her.
Yeah, considering the fact, you know, she started her wrestling career roughly in 2011, and 2 years later, she's, you know, forced into retirement because of an injury. I mean, it just goes to show you how quickly the wrestling business can take a toll on your mind and your body. But it really does seem, and I'm right along the same vein as you, partner, I've seen very, very little of Actress Girls. Majority of what I know from them is the wrestlers that have come over from Actress Girls to Marigold and have absolutely crushed it. Obviously, Natsumi's one of them. So it's like, it seems like Actress Girls is kind of the place to kind of get your foot back and just to see, like, okay, can I get the feel for this? Can I get the crowd? Because it really seems like the crowd psychology might be somewhat the same, because I don't think they're bumping as much or taking the physical punishment that you would see from a Marigold, from a Tokyo Joshi Pro, from a Stardom, or what have you. It just basically seems more of they focus more on the entertainment side than they do the actual sports side. So it seems like Actress Girls would always be a good place to get started and then go into the main scene. And again, we've seen a lot of wrestlers come over from Actress Girls, have to go through the dojo, a Marigold, and able to compete in Marigold. And correct me if I'm wrong, partner, wasn't it Risa Hoshinki that actually came back from her retirement for a little bit and participated a little bit in Actress Girls?
She did indeed. Archie Asakawa as well is, I believe, something bunny, maybe, in that promotion as well. I think because there is a slightly safer element to it, I think that's sure. That helps with, you know, again, Risa Hoshinki, who really, you know, it was a buildup of neck and head injuries. So yeah, I believe so. I can't remember what Arisa Hoshiki was called, but I know that Aki Asakawa is something bunny. If you do want to dive into the wild world of Actress Girls, where I believe they now have a lion as a member of the roster.
Why not, buddy? That makes sense that Mufasa movie based on The Lion King is coming out in just 2 months' time. So perfect timing. There's product placement right there. Maybe they get a deal with Disney. You know what I mean? The multi-billion dollar company.
Exactly. And there you go. Sponsorship opportunities for days. But again, make sure you go and check out Plug Pedro's podcast if you want to learn more about it. Genuinely a white lion. So you left AWG to join Rossi Ogawa and Marigold. How difficult was the decision to leave AWG, and what was the reason you ultimately decided to leave. And Natsumi Shozuki says, at the time I had the belt, so quitting wasn't easy, but there were various reasons and I had no choice but to leave AWG and go to Marigold on that day. It's really interesting because Mirai said something similar about having no choice, almost alluding to the fact that it was almost like fate that I had to go. I felt compelled to go. And whether that is because of the pull of Rossi, whether that's because I know that a couple of people have mentioned in AWG, it was a different style of wrestling. As we mentioned, they had that theatrical element. So whether it was that Natsumi wanted to get back into, you know, conventional pro wrestling is interesting. I know that there was a lot of focus on her because she had just won the title. And I think she vacated it something like 22 days after winning it. So obviously for her, I imagine it was an even bigger decision. But I think having just won the title, it goes to show just how deep this pull was to go and join Marigold and to go and join Rossi, Matt.
Yeah, this is a really interesting question, a really interesting answer. But like kind of looking at this and you look at her style, especially I think as soon as the first show was over, me and you were texting each other back and forth. And out of the wrestlers that we never heard of before, never watched, it was Miko Anno, Nao Ishikawa, and Natsumi Shozuki that we were like, whoa, what did we just see here? I think the reason why she left, and again, based off this question, based what I saw from day one and what we're seeing now, just a few months, six, seven months into Marigold's run, is she wanted to go back to the more physical style, where like Actress Girls was a good place for her to get her timing back and her footing back and her psychology and her crowd psychology and be able to work on her character. But it just seems like she wanted more of the smash mouth style of pro wrestling, considering the fact that she started in Stardom, came back to Actress Girls and was like, you know what, I want to get more into the actual, you know, sports side of it instead of entertainment side. Again, just based on what I saw in that first match I saw from the first Marigold show into what we're seeing now, you know, the physical matches, again, that she's had with Misa Matsui, the time she's in the ring, you know, with Miko Anno against Koki Amore, against Mirai, she really seems to enjoy that physical style. So that would be my guess, is one of the reasons why she was time to leave Actress Girls, is maybe she kind of, you know, stayed, you know, she did everything she wanted to do over there, and now it was time to, you know, as far as an entertainment side, she did everything she wanted to do on the entertainment side, and now it was more time to get more into the sports side, more of that hard-hitting Joshi style that inspired her back in 2011. Clearly we see that 6 months into this Marigold run that she's having.
Yeah, we do. Next question, and this, I love this answer. Two words, this answer. We've just had the Dreamstar Grand Prix, and so you have great singles matches with the likes of Utami, Victoria Yuzuki, and Mirai. Who else in Marigold would you like to face in a singles match that you haven't already? Three words, I apologize. Nanae Takahashi, sorry. And you know what? Don't need any more than that, do you? Why would you need anyone else apart from that, Matt?
Rob, if you actually, if you were to kind of unscramble those words, it actually spells passion. If one way or another, that's just, even though there's no P in there, if you were to meld them together and passion. But yeah, those are two great matches. I mean, you think with Natsumi's really high pace, high speed style mixed it in with Nanae Takahashi, her brilliance, you know, what she brings to the table, her experience, her be able to tell that story and able to kind of uptick you. I mean, Nanae Takahashi has those old school type finishes can go on for 4 or 5 minutes, you know, if given them a lot of time. You mix that with Natsumi Shozuki's doing today, and you put them in a couple matches, maybe a couple series of matches, or have them have 2 or 3 matches over the course of a year or two, and you're just going to see her become a better wrestler, right? And because she's going to be learning from somebody that knows how to do finishes better than anybody in Joshi, and one Nanae Takahashi as far as stretching out those finishes. And then again, sorry, I mean, who doesn't want to see that match? I mean, that's something that is going to be, you know, hopefully a match that we get somewhere down the line in 2025. We've seen Sari on the Sariism shows being able to use wrestlers from all sorts of different companies. I mean, who's not to say that we don't see Sari and Momo Watanabe versus Miko Anno and Natsumi Shozuki? You know, why not? Sari's good friends with Natsupoi. Who wouldn't want to see that tag match as well? So that's a match that I have a feeling we're going to be seeing somewhere down the line in the next year or so, not only in singles matches, but tag matches. So yeah, two great answers. I mean, who wouldn't want to see them? I mean, obviously, you know, take my money,
I mean, the sari one, it's sort of alluding to something she mentions later on in the interview about sort of not being content with where she is and constantly striving for the top prize. And obviously, sari holds at the moment, at the time of recording, the top prize in Marigold. So I wonder how much of it is just aiming for the top and sort of trying to put yourself even more out there. Moving on then. Well, you've had some great moments in your career. You won the Goddess of Stardom Championships with Kairi Hojo and Sumo Hall and have now become the first ever Marigold Superfly champion. What are some of your personal fondest moments from your career so far? And Natsumi Shozuki says, I still vividly remember the cheers of the crowd as at the first match during my time with Stardom when the Natsumi chants started. And of course, being able to win a belt twice at Ryogoku Kokugikan is cool. Completely agree. Completely agree. Being able to have that as something to put on your CV, won belts twice at Ryogoku, is quite the achievement. I can't imagine what it must feel like to have someone chanting your name. And obviously, she says there in her first match in Stardom, and that was against Io Shirai, as I mentioned before, in 2012. And to hear your name being chanted, and, you know, where are we now? We're 12 years on, 2024, and she still vividly remembers that. Obviously, you have had your name chanted at times, even if it's just by me. But what is that? What does that do to you? In terms of your sort of your passion and things.
Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit medmutual.com/review or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO, POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno could make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for. Social security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
You can't really put a price on it. You really can't. You know, I'm lucky enough to have, you know, my name chanted. We've talked about streamers. I've had streamers thrown at me dozens and dozens of times, and it's really just a cool way of akin to the Japanese style. But getting your name chanted either during a match, after a match, you know, win, lose, or draw, stuff like that. It's really, there's some times that you have a match, and when they're chanting your name, win, lose, or draw, you don't want that moment to end. Mm. You just want to stay in that ring forever, because if you can take that feeling and put it in a bottle and sell it, you'd be a millionaire like that, because there's really no words. There's really no words. I mean, it's the ultimate high from somebody that's never been high before in their life. It's the ultimate high. It really is. And considering the fact that Natsumi's won these two championships in a legendary venue like Sumo Hall on Ryogoku Kakakigen, and then one of those matches is teaming with one of the best Joshi wrestlers over the last 15, 20 years in Kairi, and another one was becoming the first ever Marigold Superfly champion in one of the best wrestling shows all year at Summer Destiny. I mean, that's a pretty good feather to put in the cap of Natsumi Shozuki.
Yeah, certainly. And actually, it's funny because we talk about Kairi in the next question. Speaking of Kairi, with the partnership with WWE and Io Sky taking on Utami Hayashishita in Ryogoku, is a singles match with your former Hosho Tenyo tag team partner something you would like to happen in the future? And Natsumi says, yes, I think it would be good to have a singles match, but I think it would be better to have her by my side. I won't know until it actually happens. If possible, I would like to do it overseas. I would love to see a Hoshi Tenyo reunion. It would be such a cathartic moment to see those two team together again. I know that Kairi was backstage at Summer Destiny and there was a photo after Natsumi Shozuki won the Superfly Championship with her, Io, Kairi and Nanae. So, you know, they're obviously still quite close. I know that they were very, very close during the Hoshi Tenyo days. And I think as well, obviously she brings up the singles match because we brought it up. But there is an instant, I would rather team with her. I'd rather sort of, you know, I'd rather have her by my side than fight her. There is obviously still a monumental amount of respect there between Natsumi Shozuki and Kairi.
Rob, maybe I'm just being greedy because the Land of Marigold and Stardom have given us so much phenomenal matches over the last year. I mean, obviously Marigold's only 6 months old, but... They've given us so much great stuff over the last year or two. Like, who would have thought that we saw Io versus Utami? Who would have thought that we've seen this run with Mercedes Moné coming in and out, and we probably had more. So again, maybe I'm just being greedy, but why not both? Why don't we get a singles match with Kairi and Natsumi? And then after the match, Kairi takes the microphone and says, hey, let's team up to take on maybe the Twin Towers of Kokiyama Rei and Chika Goto or Mirai Mei Sakurai. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can go about it. Maybe taking on Nanae and Utami. I mean, yeah, well, I mean, again, maybe I'm being greedy, but I would like to see both. I would like to see both, but I do like her answer. We'd be like, yeah, that'd be really fun, but I'd rather honor her as my tag partner because I know how much she kicks ass. So, and the fact that she'd like to do it overseas. So, I mean, we're seeing this, again, all these forbidden doors that have been put up for decades and decades around the wrestling business seem to be not only open, but some of these doors just seem to be ripped off the hinges. So, I mean, why not see that maybe on an NXT show? Maybe Kairi and how about this? Kairi and Natsumi Shozuki versus Julie and Steph Acker. I mean,
could happen.
It could happen. I mean, it really could happen. We've seen some just interesting dream matches and some interesting matches, you know, being played out. So, you know, why not? But I really like her answer here where it's just like, yeah, that'd be a great match, but I'd rather team with her. I mean, that's something that, like, as soon as I read that, it really piqued my interest because you can do a lot of matches with the NXT, you know, what's going on with NXT. And what's going on with Marigold as well, because Marigold is really starting to build up their deep roster of the tag division. And I would love to see that as a one-off somewhere sooner than later, partner.
I think if we're going to see it, it's more likely that we see it on a Marigold show.
I agree.
Whether that would be at, you know, they're going to run out towards City Gym in January. They, you know, if they are going to try and run Sumo Hall again in the summer, you know, it's a big venue. If they, you know, they've got a Las Vegas show coming up. I don't think that Kairi shows up at Las Vegas, disappointingly. But
she might be busy that weekend wrestling in front of 80,000 people at Relax Stadium.
I disagree. I think she's got her priorities all twisted there. But, but you know, there are plenty of opportunities for it to happen. I know that, you know, Marigold haven't got infinite money. You know, they're not going to be able to bring in WWE talent of the caliber of an Io Sky, of a Kairi Hojo, you know, every single pay-per-view. It's just not sustainable. Whether this does happen, it could happen. Absolutely, it could. It's unlikely, but it could. I think if it does happen, it will be an enormous moment, and it will be really, really, as I mentioned before, cathartic to see Natsumi Shozuki have that moment again with Kairi. When, you know, if you look back at 2013, she may not have thought that she was ever going to get that opportunity again. So that might have a huge thing to do with it, because obviously she returned to wrestling in 2021. At this point, Kairi had gone to WWE and come back and was on the way out again. So, crazy. You know, so there's lots and lots to take into consideration there.
Maybe a possible what if episode, Rob, we can rebook. There it is. Always thinking, my man, it's a blessing and a curse.
Always hustling. I did ask then, Marigold have announced their first show in the United States next year. How excited are you to wrestle there? And are you looking forward to being able to practice the English that you have been studying? So according to her social medias, she is currently studying American or English and Korean as well. So hopefully if we get to meet her during Las Vegas, we'll be able to see just how well that's coming on. But she does say, "I'm really looking forward to it. It was one of my dreams to wrestle in America. I'm still not well known, so I will do my best to get more people to know me. I need to study English more." I imagine it's so cool. Like when we got to meet the Stardom wrestlers last year, this year. It's because I'm thinking of next year. That's what it is.
I know. I do that mistake all the time. I'll be talking about saying, "Yeah, we went to the WrestleMania last year," and people, some, my wife and my daughter, are like, "No, you were just there a couple months ago." So I know. I get corrected all the time on that.
It happens all the time. but yeah, you know, even just a small amount of English is like, that's really cool, because I know at best about 8 words in Japanese, you know, and I've tried to learn Japanese and it is a bloody hard language. I am just about fluent in English. So to be able to learn another language, never mind 2, is quite the achievement. I imagine that the crowd in America is going to react massively to everyone on the Marigold roster. And I imagine that Natsumi Shozuki is going to be rather high on that totem pole of people that they will react very, very positively to.
Yeah, this. So I will try to get more people to know me. I know a fact, Natsumi Shozuki, that there's 2 people, corner of the screen right here, will be waving the flag that will help you out as much as possible. But she's, again, for somebody that's been watching American wrestling, you know, on a consistent basis since 1986, 1987, and knowing what the fan base likes, and when they see something different in a good way, they absolutely lose their minds. Again, look at Amina Shirakawa, look at Izumi, look at Asaya Kamatani, look at a Micah, Momo Watanabe, a Mayu. When they come over to the States, people are like, even the people that don't know them, like, what is that? That's completely different than what I've been seeing on my TV with American American women's wrestling. And Natsumi Shozuki is going to be somebody that will instantly get over just with her charisma, the way she carries herself in the ring, just on her entrance. And then you put in her high-speed style of pro wrestling that nobody really does over here in the States. And again, you're getting fans at WrestleMania weekend from all over, not only the United States, but the world. I think she's going to be somebody that may win the weekend. There's always like a handful of wrestlers, a dozen or so wrestlers that you always hear the IWC saying, this independent wrestler stole the weekend, or this person's stock is going to rise, or this person in the next year or so is going to be a really big deal because how they were able to get over in it, you know, in American wrestling or an American wrestling scene on WrestleMania weekend. And I'm willing to bet a decent amount of money, I guess I don't bet, but considering the fact that it is in Vegas, a decent amount of money that Natsumi Shozuki is going to be one of those wrestlers that people are going to be, boy, howdy. She is somebody that I'm really, really going to look forward to. And this is really smart by Marigold sending a show over to the United States for WrestleMania weekend, because I think they're going to get a lot of fans. And it's going to be interesting to see if there's going to be any of these wrestlers that are going to be competing on other shows. We saw Sherry in GCW. Mm. We saw, Micah, Maesara, Mina Shirakawa, Sai Kamatani, Tam, and Izumi compete on Ring of Honor. So it's going to be interesting to see with everything going on in the collective that weekend, if Natsumi Shozuki is going to be on some of those shows where we might see her like Sherry did against Amasa Slamovich. I think that would be an absolutely terrific must-see match. So that's going to be interesting to see as well. I think that if the opportunity is there, I think Marigold should let their talent wrestle on the other show, WrestleMania weekend, because ultimately it's going to only help the promotion of Marigold out to get more of the wrestlers out in front of a bigger audience.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we will absolutely be flying that flag for Natsumi Shozuki. Marigold will have to obviously provide that flag because we're only a poor little podcast, but we will be flying that flag. And also, if they can provide baseball jerseys, I mean, Natsumi Shozuki... You literally have the best of the baseball jerseys. So, Marigold, this is our plea. Please bring those jerseys over.
How are we 40 minutes in and we haven't announced that yet, buddy?
Don't you worry. I'm on it, mate. I'm on it. Next question. Second to last question, actually. What are some of your hopes and ambitions for the future in Marigold? Your tag team with Miko Aono is fantastic. Could we see you challenge for the Twin Star Championships? Now, this answer sort of... sort of gave me the impression about the Sari answer. So she says, my personal goal remains the same, to aim for all the belts. Even small people should be able to aim for the red belt. Of course, I would like to win the tag belts, but I haven't found the best partner yet. So there's a couple of things I want to break down there. So the first, I want to aim for all the belts. And that was why I sort of picked out Sari when I was like, who would you like most like to face? You know, she's got this mentality which fits the character that she has in the ring down to a T. I want to aim for all the belts. You know, I'm not content with just being the Superfly champion. And she's right. Even small people should be able to aim for the red belt. Absolutely. And I imagine they will do. At the moment, obviously, the pool is Bozilla, and she isn't exactly the smallest person on the roster. I know that's not the greatest sample size, but I imagine smaller people will eventually challenge. But yeah, I reckon Natsumi Shozuki, even though I doubt that she would become a red belt champion, I imagine that she would challenge, and I imagine she would put on an absolute barn burner of a match with whoever is red belt champion, whether that's Sari or whether that's Utami or whether that's Mirai. She's going to have a fantastic match with them. And next, haven't found the best partner yet. Now, Matt, I know you are a huge fan of Miko Aono and Natsumi Shozuki, and you are probably going to say your best partner is Miko Aono. But if it wasn't Miko Aono, who would you like to see Natsumi Shozuki team up with to have a go at those Twin Star Championships?
Misa Matsui. I mean,
that's exactly what I was thinking.
There again, the old Paul Heyman thing, when he put the Public Enemy together, you'd see them on Independence, and Rocco Rock and Johnny Grunge would always be wrestling each other. Like, they make great opponents. Let's put them together as partners. And that was one of the big things that blew ECW up at 94, 95. So it's like, well, you're really good at, you know, against each other. Let's see you as tag partners. And I think just a show 2 weeks ago that we reviewed, they were tag partners, and we were like, wow, they were really, really good together. I don't want to say Natsumi Shozuki, you're wrong, but I kind of think you did find a really good partner, Miko Aono. Again, maybe that's just me. I'm just a huge, huge fan of that tag team. I think I even emailed Sonya. I was like, who's the genius that put these two together? Because you're looking at the tournament, and you're like, you just put two great wrestlers together. And like 4 minutes in the match, like, oh my goodness, these two are terrific together. So, I would like to see Natsumi Shozuki and Miko Aono make a run for those belts. But if she's saying that, she's underlining that haven't found the best partner yet, Misa Matsui. And that just goes to show you how great Natsumi Shozuki is, because she's had this great tag team partnership with Miko Aono. And then it's the one match that her and Misa Matsui have teamed up. You're like turning heads. You're like, oh, wait a minute. So I think that's a good one. Kind of throw a third one out there, kind of maybe somewhere out of left field. I would say Kazuna Tanaka. I think because they worked the striking and the submission game together. Obviously, Kazuna Tanaka and Vittoria Yuzuki is kind of like my new jam now, and I think they're great together. But if you're just kind of if I want to throw a left field one out there, I think because of the way that their hard hitting style and their submission style would really meld together. So, so that would be my answer. But as far as the first part of this question, she wants to win all the belts. Well, she did say that Io Sky, Io Shirai is an influence of her. Who better? I mean, Io at one point in time held just about every belt at the same time.
Absolutely.
In Stardom. So it's like, oh, yeah, I want to do that. So,
World of Stardom, Artist of Stardom, Goddess of Stardom, and SWA, wasn't she? All at the same time.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Crazy. Unbelievable. Yeah. And the final question we asked was, you have been in the ring. It's the question we always ask at the end of these interviews. You've been in the ring with some of the hardest strikers in Joshi. But in your opinion, who do you think hits the hardest? And she answered, I haven't faced all of them properly yet, but Aono Miku's kicks have always been heavy. Nozaki Nagisa's kicks were pretty painful too. Mirai and Takahashi Nanae's chops hurt too. But I think my kicks and elbows are pretty painful too. First things first, yes. I imagine your kicks and elbows, Natsumi, are extremely painful, having heard the noise they make coming off people's backs. Nagisa Nozaki, those noir lances that she's throwing recently just seem to be on a completely different level to the ones she was throwing at the start of Marigold's run. She seems to have really ramped up the intensity with that. Miko Aono, obviously, you know, Stu Fulton tells us repeatedly, you know, she's training at the K1 dojo. Her kicks are only going to get stronger. And then the chops from Mirai and Nanae Takahashi, you couldn't pay me enough money to take them. I'll be perfectly honest. Absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, all great answers there. Obviously, Mikko Ono's one of the hardest kickers, like as you mentioned, as Stu Fulton always mentions, and Sonny as well, that she trains at the K1 Dojo, which is, that's really, really interesting to me. It's always nice when we see these wrestlers that like to delve into the striking, the MMA style, that they're going to these MMA-type gyms. You know, we've seen it, obviously, Shuri trains at the MMA. We've seen Mariah May and Mina Shirakawa going to the Snake Pit over in Japan to train a few times. So obviously, Mikko Ono, you can tell that that she trains there. That she trains in the kickboxing. Mirai Nane Takahashi, we've been watching them for years just destroy opponents, whether it's in Marigold Now or Stardom a couple years ago. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Nagisa Nozaki, when I first, I wouldn't have that listed, but then I was like, look at what she's done, especially during the Dream Star, and then what she did to build up towards her her white belt match just this past weekend with Mikko Ono at Corican Hall. It's like, yeah, she's really up the intensity, and she really's had to. She's really had. I mean, she's placing herself to the top part of the card. She really needs to be throwing that with a little bit more oomph to it, and she sure has. She really, really has. So that was an interesting answer. But when you think about it for a second, it's like, yeah, Nagisa Nozaki's really been throwing the kicks and throwing them with a lot of intensity this past month or so for Marigold. So that was interesting. But yeah, I think my kicks and elbows are pretty painful too. What a great way to end that question and end the interview, partner. Because she's not wrong, that's for damn
sure. She is bloody not wrong, no. Again, the noise they make as they are... who did she face the other day? And I was like, I genuinely felt... I think it was Kazuna Tanaka. And I genuinely felt sorry for her because the noise the kicks were making was absolutely brutal. But yes, thank you again to Marigold for helping us out. Thank you so much to Natsumi Shiozuki again for helping us out with the interview, agreeing to do with the interview. I know you are obviously incredibly busy. Thank you to Chiyoko Asakura for the fantastic translation. Honestly, you are the absolute best, so thank you so much. And thank you to all of you guys for watching, listening, reading the interview, whatever you are doing. Again, we have got more of these in the pipeline, and we'll be looking to do more in the future. So hopefully, if you like these, make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, and it really helps us out. So yeah, thank you very much. What were you going to say, Matt?
I was just going to say, no, absolutely. No, as always, big thanks to our friend Sonny for setting this up. And we're trying to figure something out to have Sonny back on the show, where we're going to talk about not only our top five favorite sequels, but our top time favorite guitarist. And if he doesn't have Dave Mustaine on that list, yeah, if he doesn't have that Dave Mustaine on that list, we're going to have a pretty hefty talk in Vegas. But anywho.
Top five guitarists. Gee, that's going to be really tricky.
Yeah, I know. Ooh. I know. I think I mentioned something with Slash or something like that. And he messaged me. He's like, we should do a top five guitarist. And I was like, we have a lot of podcasting material to talk about. But no, thanks, Sonny. We owe you several Las Vegas beers when we see you next year in Vegas. They're all on me and or Rob, or both, or regardless, we'll figure it out. But no, as always, Sonny, thank you for past, present, and future help that you've helped us out with this show. We really greatly appreciate everything that you've done for us.
But we will only buy beer if you bring over the baseball jerseys. And on
that's a case of beer.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the high spot. Wrap it up.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. It's always a real, real honor to do this for you. A privilege. Make sure you check out the podcast, subscribe, like wherever you get your podcasts. You can obviously have all of these podcasts early and ad free. Go to our Patreon, patreon.com/thestardomcast. You can get all of these early and ad free for as little as $1 a month, as well as a whole host of bonus content. Check out the website, www.thestardomcast.com, where you can check out the full written transcript of this interview, our interview with Mirai, and all of our upcoming interviews as well. You can find us on social media at The Marigold Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at Real Rob Goodwin. Mr. Matt Turner, where can they find you? And then sign us off.
Folks, questions, comments, anything you need from me, suggestions, Matt Turner OF on the Instagram and or the Twitter is the best way to get a hold of me. You want to shoot me an email, the email address is thestardomcast22@gmail.com. Folks, that's going to wrap it up for another fun-filled episode. We hope you appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed it. And let us know what other interviews you would like us for to do, and we will try to get them done as many as possible, because I really enjoyed this this bonus material that we are dropping for you for on the Marigold Standard. But folks, greatly appreciate your support. Can't do it without you. Like I always say, it's just not my podcast. It's our podcast. Because we're all together, and everyone's different, everyone's special.